How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. Praise God. Amen. I have to confess my sin. I'm very envious of people like Eddie and Satoru, who could speak both English and Japanese very well. I can't even speak English too well, let alone Japanese. And hopefully God helps me to be better in Japanese and in English. Today I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. But before I talk about that, I feel like the Lord wanted me to share something with you. So let me share that with you before we get into our message. It's from John 15. John 15 says this: I am the true vine, and my Father, this is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it would bear even more fruit. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it would be even more fruitful. Amen. So what that means is, when something is successful, fruitful, that's what it means. Fruitful means successful, growing. God begins to prune it. I don't have a green thumb. I'm not into gardening, and so I don't really appreciate this as much as someone who may be into gardening. But it takes away, right, pruning, so that it could add more. I feel like this is what's happening in Tucson, JCCT. I feel there's a pruning process going on at JCCT in order for it to become more fruitful. Amen. All right. Two people agree with me. Come on. Amen. I believe God is going to do something even greater than what has already happened. I believe God is pleased with what happened in Tucson. That Tucson is a fruitful church. And so God says, okay, I'm going to prune it. And for me, coming in as a new pastor starting from last month, in this pruning process, I'm, Evelyn always tells me, don't worry, it's not you. But I'm like, oh man, every Sunday the church is shrinking. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Do I need to pray more? Do I just need to, fast? Evelyn is always encouraging and saying, don't worry, it's not you. But I feel like the Lord is pruning this church, and I believe it's for the purpose of fruitfulness. Praise God. I have to share with you that last night it was hard for me to sleep. It's been hard for me to sleep, various reasons. But last night it was hard for me to sleep. I was thinking, wow, God is going to increase this church. And I was just thinking about the way that God is going to increase this church. And my wife wakes up in the middle of the night, and she wakes up and she says, oh, I just had a dream. And she's like, I had a dream you were a pastor of a really big church. and she's like, yeah, you were in your study room. And then she kind of went back to sleep. But yeah, I do believe that God is going to do something great and mighty at Tucson. Praise God. And just frankly, I think Tucson itself is going through a pruning process. Just a... I don't know if this... Well, I'll just leave it at that. That God is not through with Tucson. It is being hit hard economically, but I believe there's a blessing in it. I believe there's a blessing in every trial. Amen? All right, well, let's go into our message today. Ephesians 5. Let me read it again. It says, be very careful then how you live. For those of you who have a Bible that's more literal, it probably says, be very careful how you walk. The NIV, unfortunately, uses the word live, but I'll get into that. But it says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's do that right now. Father, we thank you so much. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We praise you, Father, for bringing us here together as a community to worship you. We thank you, Father, for all of your provisions, Lord. Even those provisions that are coming to us, Lord, even now, Father, we thank you so much. We praise you and thank you in advance for all that you are going to provide for us and provide abundantly for us, Lord. We praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about, the title is Be Filled with the Spirit. But the bigger title should be Walking in Wisdom. Walking in Wisdom. Again, the NIV doesn't do this verse justice. It says, be very careful then how you live. Literally, it means be very careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And walking in Ephesians, and even in a lot of Paul's letter, walking is a big theme in this letter, in the book of Ephesians. It's written at least seven times. At least six times. Ephesians 2:2 says, don't walk how you used to walk in disobedience. Ephesians 2:10 talks about walk the way that the Lord created you to. Ephesians 4:1 talks about walking worthy in your calling. Ephesians 4:17 talks about walk in unity. Ephesians 5:2 talks about walking in love. And Ephesians, finally here, Ephesians 5:15, walk in wisdom. So if you notice, throughout the script, throughout this whole letter, it's talking about how we should walk. Paul is not concerned about if we know how to talk the talk, but rather if we know how to walk the walk. Amen? And walking in wisdom is so important for us today. I believe many people are losing sleep, losing lives, years on their lives, just because of stress of, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? Wisdom will take care of that. If you walk in wisdom, it will take care of that. And so what does Paul say about how to walk in wisdom? He talks about at least three things here in these five verses. It talks about walking in wisdom. Okay, it's not on there. But it talks about It talks about making the most of your opportunity. Oh, it's up here. Okay, good. It talks about making the most of your opportunities. Oh, that was a dramatic pause for those of you who are getting nervous. Making the most of your opportunities, knowing your purpose, and being filled with the Spirit. Those three are very important to walk in wisdom. But James simply says, if you need wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He'll give you wisdom. Ask God, and He'll give you wisdom. Paul talks about three things here, though. It talks about making the most of every opportunity, knowing your purpose, and being filled with the Spirit. Let me just break off the outline real quick. But how many of you know your purpose in life? Yes, praise God. One person. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible talks about, and I'm sure you've heard this metaphor before, but the Bible talks about how we, as Christians, make up the body of Christ. Amen? And if one person knows their purpose, you know, it's kind of like one finger doing what it's supposed to do. And the whole body is just there, unaware that it's there, and not doing anything. Imagine how frustrating that is. Imagine how frustrating it would be if only your hand worked and knew what to do and listened to the head. Well, that's kind of what it's like when we don't know our purpose. As the body of Christ. So I hope you know your purpose in the Lord. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that today. But the first one, making the most of our opportunities. Listen what the scripture says. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. There's a common saying in sports. They say, especially when it comes to the end of the season, towards the end of the season, but they say something like this: we want to take it one game at a time. Meaning we don't want to look ahead. We just want to take it one game at a time. We want to take it one day at a time. Paul says here, the days are evil. I believe the days are evil, but at the same time for us Christians and those who believe, the days are full of opportunities. Amen? The days are full of God's promises for each and every one of us. And we have choices every day that either allows the promises of God into our lives, or we can ignore the promises of God. The days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. It is so important that we as Christians, as believers, make the best decision of those opportunities. Daily. That we say to God, yes to God daily. Because there's going to be a time in our lives, each and every one of our lives, when we intersect the promise and the fulfillment. Promise with a capital P. Of course, I said there's daily promises that we could say yes to, but there's going to be a time, the intersection of promise and fulfillment. And if we don't say yes daily to the Lord, what do you think is going to happen to that time when we go into that intersection? There's a story in the Old Testament. Most of you are familiar with it. It's with the children of Israel. They're miraculously delivered out of Egypt through Moses. You guys all know the story? They wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They get to this place of intersection of the promise of God. God said, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, He said, I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. They're finally there. 40 years of wandering. They're finally there. What happens? They get scared. They said, there's giants in the land of promise. We don't want to go in. Besides, and going back, during those 40 years, they weren't saying yes to God either. They were saying, they were complaining, why did you take us out? What would, you know, we need water, we need food, we need meat. And when they got to that place, the threshold of promise, when they could have walked in to all that God had for them, they got fear got the best of them. What's interesting is, if you read, continue to read the story, when they said no, Moses took them back into the wilderness. And then they finally said, okay, fine. The wilderness sucks. We'd rather go into the promise. And so they tried to go into the promise on their own strength. And they got routed by the enemy. You know, we have opportunities, but our time here is limited. Our opportunities here are limited as well. It won't always be a yes. You know, God is gracious. He's full of grace and mercy, amen? But there isn't always going to be a green light. There's going to be times when opportunity passes us by, and we're going to say, Lord, I want that. And it's going to be, it's too late. I offered it to you. But it's too late now. It takes wisdom to say yes to the Lord daily. So that on that day, when we're at that intersection of promise and fulfillment, we will be able to walk into it. Even if we're afraid. Even if there's danger. That we're so used to saying yes to the Lord. Amen. I love sports, and I like using sports analogy because that's all I know. I'm not a huge fan of boxing, but I do like boxing. Anyone here watch boxing? Just me. All right. So this example is going to work for me. I'm preaching to myself today. Amen. And if you are listening online, I'm preaching to you. is anyone familiar with the boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr.? Please. No. Nobody. Okay. Well, let me use another analogy. I got to do an audible. Do you know the term audible? No, just kidding. Okay. So, I don't like golf. I never watch golf, but just because I watch sports and I watch sports highlight, I know a little bit about golf. Very little. So there used to be a great golfer named Tiger Woods. Familiar? Anyone? Tiger Woods, about 5 years ago, about 5 years ago, he was considered one of the greatest athletes in the world. Not just greatest golfer, but greatest athlete in the world. The reason why he was a great athlete is he practiced. It's not like he just one day woke up and just started swinging. See, I don't even know the right terms, okay? You know, it wasn't like he started just playing all of a sudden. It was in those times, daily, he made the right choice as a golfer. We as Christians, we need to do the same thing. And I believe Tiger Woods, even at a young age, he knew that he wanted to be a professional golfer. How great would the church be if, at a young age, we knew our purposes in the Lord? Which brings us to the next point, knowing our purpose in the Lord. Again, Tiger Woods, at a young age, he knew he wanted to be a golfer. He was a great golfer. Floyd Mayweather Jr., he's a boxer. He's going to be boxing May 5th. Considered one of the greatest boxers, if not pound for pound, the greatest boxer today. I'm not a big fan of his. Although I do appreciate his ability to box. The reason why I'm not a big fan of his is he trash talks a lot. And I don't know. I just, it doesn't really turn me on to him. But one thing he said that was interesting as a boxer, he was being interviewed. And he said, that question was something like, I forgot what the question was, but he answered it in such a way that was pretty interesting. He said, you know, there's a lot of talented boxers out there, but I'm a God-gifted boxer, and that's why I'm the best. So you can kind of tell he is a tragic, he's kind of, you know, that's just kind of personality he has. But it's very interesting that he would say it that way. A lot of talented people out there, but God gifted me to box, that's why I'm the best. And arguably he is the best. It's important to know our purpose. Floyd Mayweather Jr., he says, that's what God created me to be, a boxer. And that's all he does. His life revolves around that. And it made him a great boxer. There's a man in the Bible that wrote this book, the book of Ephesians. His name is Apostle Paul. Several times, if not in all of his letters, he says, I, the Apostle Paul. He puts his title in there. Apostle Paul. That's his purpose. Called to be an apostle by the Lord. Of course, there's several reasons why he would put his title in these letters. But he knew exactly who he was in the Lord. He was an apostle. Knowing our purposes is key to walking in wisdom. Because again, our time here is limited. And the purposes we have by God would not be fulfilled if we don't know our purpose. Amen? Now, there are the revealed will of God that simply Scripture tells us what our purposes are. I'm not going to get into all of the purposes that the Lord has for us. One is, we are sons and daughters of the Lord. Amen. I was at the Bible study yesterday with the college students, and we were looking at the book of Galatians. And one truth caught my eye. It's in Galatians 4. Verse 5. Let me read from 4. Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now, whether you're a male or female, this applies to you, because this word sonship doesn't mean, it has a legal term to it. The word sonship is, in the Greek, it's referring to the full legal standing of a man being able to use the family resources. So in Roman culture, if a father says, this is my son, then that meant that this person could use the family resources and had the legal right to, just as much as the father did. In Jewish culture, when the father brought his son, he probably brought him to the gates where legal transactions were made and said, this is my son. Which meant, this person, he could do everything legally that I can do with our property and estate. Scripture says, we are God's son. So God the Father takes us before all of heaven and says, this is my son. Legally, He can do whatever I can do. Amen. That's what He did with Jesus, right? And Jesus walked on the earth, releasing heaven on earth. Let me give you another revealed will of God. It comes in John chapter 20, verse 21. Very simple. Before the Lord leaves, before Jesus leaves, He says this to His disciples. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Now, how did the Father send Jesus? What does that mean? What was Jesus sent to do? Luke 4 tells us this, that when Jesus was about to begin his ministry, he used scripture to tell the people what he came to do. Luke 4:18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came to preach to the poor, set people free, open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick, set oppressed people free, and proclaim the year of the Lord, favor of the Lord. Amen? That's what Jesus came to do. And Jesus, at the end of his ministry, said, "Hey, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you." That's some of the revealed will of God. That's our purpose here. It's to continue the work Jesus began. Jesus says, "Greater things you will do." Amen. And some people say, you know, it doesn't really matter what the individual will is. As long as you continue to do your revealed will in Scripture, individual purpose will take care of itself. And in some sense, I believe that. But in another sense, I believe that we need to really, you know, press in and seek and ask and knock, "God, what did you create me for?" I mean, that's how God works a lot of times. He hides things from us so that we would press in to seek him for it. And I believe some of you here have great purposes in the Lord. Amen. Wow, I'm just, I believe some of you, not some of you, I believe all of you that are paying attention, no, all of you who laugh at my joke, no, just kidding, all of you have great purposes in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, I receive that, God. And it's so important, wisdom to seek it out. Wisdom to begin to live it out. And finally, Paul says this, in order to walk in wisdom, make the most of your opportunities, know your purpose, and finally, all of this, the foundation of this, is the last one, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, theologically, there's the difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit is different. As Christians, when we first believe, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Simple as that. He's our guarantee that God will redeem us. But if Paul is going to make the statement and the command to be filled, which is a continual filling, that means that we're not filled all the time. Amen? Some of you may be saying, "Well, what does it mean to be filled? What does it look like?" How many of you have ever been to like a retreat or something, and for some reason or another, you just felt really good? You just felt really happy, and they call it the retreat high or something like that. Anyone ever get that feeling? Yeah, amen, right? That's being filled with the Spirit. I remember one time I went to a black church. It's called Faithful Central. It's in Inglewood, California. They used to meet where the Los Angeles Lakers used to play, the Great Western Forum. And they used to have church there. I don't think they meet there anymore, but it was a big church. And if you've ever been to a black church, the culture is a little different. Church culture is a little different. They're there early. And they dress in their best suits and their Sunday best. And is really hard, especially a mega church like this, it's really hard to get into the first few rows. You come to JCCT, you get front row seats if you want it. You can come late as you want, and front row seats are available. It's not that like that at a black church. If you're ever planning to go to a black mega church, don't think you can stroll in sandals and shorts, and they'll look at you funny. It's just a different culture. I didn't know this when I went to this church. I was a new Christian. My friend Tim, who introduced me to the Lord, his friend from Africa came over, and he was like, and Tim said, "Hey, Ak, you want to go to church with me Sunday? My friend and I were going to go to Faithful Central." I'm like, "Sure, I love church. I'm born again, and I just can't get enough of church." And so, and he said, "Well, dress nice." You got to understand, the only church I was introduced, the only church that I knew of before that was a youth group. And youth group, they come in shorts and t-shirts and sandals. And so he said, "Dress nice, wear like button down." I'm like, "Button down, really?" And so I wear khakis and a short sleeve button down shirt. I mean, it wasn't that nice at all, but that's the nicest I could get for church. We go, and my friend is in his tie, and my African friend, he was in his African garb, and I was like, "Man, I'm really underdressed." We go to church, and I'm like, "Wow, I'm really underdressed," because everyone's in like suits and nice hats. Anyways, because the African friend of ours was a friend of the head pastor, they let us go into the front row. And it was just a real nice treat to get to the front row. I mean, we came late too, and we got to the front row. And again, if you've never been to an African church, it's just a different culture. When worship is going, they start dancing. Like, they're out their feet, and they're like, they're doing the bishop, they're like spinning and all this other stuff. And I'm like here, I'm like, but I was having a great time. It was just amazing. Bishop Omer spoke, and I still remember he spoke on Samson. And for some reason, going home, I just felt euphoric almost. I was just so happy, filled with joy, and it was. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have language to put to. I was like, "What the heck is going on? I'm not on drugs or anything, but I'm just really happy right now." But that's being filled with the Spirit. Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit daily." Amen. And it's kind of like being drunk, being filled, because it does, unless you're not a happy drunk. It's like being a happy drunk, you know. It's in Acts chapter 1, when it talks about the disciples on Pentecost, at Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. Let me just read it. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Let's move down to verse 12. "Amazed and perplexed, the people that were watching them were asking the question, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine to drink." And so it was similar to looking drunk. And so the people around that didn't know what was going on, when they were filled with the Spirit, they said, "Oh, they must be drunk." And so there are similarities. I believe when Christians are filled with the Spirit, it gives them a lot of joy and it gives them a lot of boldness, which Christians need to fulfill our purpose, right? We need a lot of joy and we do need a lot of boldness. Amen. Just practically, ways of being filled in the Spirit. I believe being in places where the Spirit is welcome is key. The first day, the day of Pentecost, they were praying. They were asking for the Spirit. And another practical way, ask for the Spirit. Wake up and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Simply ask. Worship is another good way. Reading the Word, being in the Word. Fellowshipping with other Christians. Coming to church. All practical ways of being filled with the Spirit, and that is key to walking in wisdom. When we walk in step with the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's so important. How do we walk in wisdom? We make the most of every opportunity. The promises of God are yes and amen, and let's receive them today. Amen. We know our purpose is in God, and finally, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And I do pray, Father, right now, that those who are just struggling emotionally, Father. Yes, Lord. Those who are struggling emotionally right now, you would fill them with your joy and peace, God. I pray for your joy and peace to fill those who are struggling right now emotionally. Father, I thank you so much. Yes, Lord. And even those physical ailments, Lord, for those who are just struggling with back pains or neck pains, I do pray, Father, for your complete healing, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We ask that you would fill this place, fill our hearts with your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.